This is the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with Yama Homeschool, father of five, also a pastor out here in Eastern Plains of Colorado. And we bring a biblical worldview to bear in education and media and news and all these aspects, including world news. And we do a Worldview in 5 Minutes program each and every day. And when we introduced that program 5 years ago, I kept asking, what really matters? What really matters from a biblical perspective? What really matters to our Lord, Jesus Christ? As all of us read the news, but what really matters in the news? Is it this $2.2 trillion whatever that Caesar pulled off in Rome? Is that going to be of consideration to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it the gross domestic product of Tyre and Sidon, or the fact that Wimbledon was just canceled? By the way, Wimbledon was just canceled.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. But what would really matter? What really matters? What's the big issue? What's the front headline? What's the thing that we should be concerned with? And, of course, it's the persecuted saints. That's why we bring this in to the Worldview in 5 minutes every day, because that's what's important, and that we pray for the persecuted church around the world. And so some are going to consider this odd, but, Steve, I'm going to read an update from Philip Zodiades.
So why would that be odd?
Well, I'm not sure that people know who Philip is. Of course, we've referred to him a number of times on this radio broadcast. But who knows but that China and America are being brought to their knees economically by a virus, because the Chinese and the American governments are putting Christians in jail like Pastor Wang Yi and Philip Zodiades. You know, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why God brought the virus to bring China and America to its knees. But it wouldn't surprise me if it has something to do with the fact that Pastor Wang Yi was just imprisoned, what was it, back in November, and Philip Zodiades back in August or September. It wouldn't surprise me. It just wouldn't surprise me. Well, number one, God is sovereign. Number two, the persecuted church cries out to Jesus. And number three, Jesus listens. And Christ is king. Don't mess with him. You judges of the earth, don't mess with him. Well, let's get an update here from Philip Zodiades. I'm just going to read this now on the Generations broadcast. Here's the update, and it comes from his wife, a fellow inmate that Philip led to the Lord, a guy named Will, says food tastes better now that he's a Christian, but everything is better to him now. He says he's the happiest person in prison right now. That's something. Oh, what a great story. Let's share this story. Who cares about the $2.2 trillion? What's going on in prison with Philip Zodiades? That's my question. Yesterday, he was telling me, that is Philip. Philip's writing now. Yesterday, this guy Will was telling me what someone here in the unit was telling him, which was extra biblical because people are trying to make him doubt or trip him up. I, Philip, told him, you know, there is a scripture that says we should not add or take away from God's word, but I couldn't find it. I thought it was Timothy. I searched for hours looking for it. Finally, last night before count, he came into my cell and I told him I couldn't find it. He said, that's okay. God will show it to us soon. We'll just run across it. So shortly after 10 o'clock, when I was getting ready to go to sleep, he came into my cell and was asking something about heaven. I said, oh, have you not read what Revelation says about heaven? It's awesome. You want to read it now? I handed him my Bible and he read the last two chapters to me. There are four verses before the end of Revelation was those verses. We both looked at each other and said, wow, I had goosebumps all over me, and so did he, as warm as it was in here. Anyway, that's how my days are going, being locked down. They are moving very slowly, but it's neat to witness this guy, Will, growing in the Lord, and he spends most of his time now with me. God is good. This is happening at this time for both of us. He's enthusiastic. After setting the 2 hours studying the Bible and talking about the Lord this afternoon, he looked up and said, wow, what a Sabbath this has been. I've done no work and just devoted it to reading and studying the Bible. What a day this has been. And then here's Kathy's comment. That's Philip's wife. This is awesome. I know that's really hard for us to be apart to people that never went anywhere without the other, but just to see the field that he's in and the word that he's bringing excites my heart so much. It actually comforts the loneliness I feel sometimes. Okay, so that's the update from Philip Zodiades, who has been discipling Will in a state penitentiary, being persecuted by the state in the United States of America. So let's stay up to date with Philip Zodiades And I'd sure like to know what's happening with Wang Yi, the pastor who was arrested and put in prison for, what was it, 6 or 7 years in China. Friends, let's talk about the persecuted saints in America, the persecuted saints in China. This is what matters to Jesus. We'll be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast. Friends, listen. There is nothing families need more than godly husbands and fathers, spiritual men, praying men, men who are strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Oh, that God would raise up stronger men, gentle, faithful shepherds, covenant keepers, men who won't quit, men who stay in the battle, men who persevere when the going gets tough, sacrificial lovers, robust men, not snowflakes. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. So the apostle tells us, quit ye like men, be strong. That's why the Shepherd's Conference each year in my home here in Elizabeth, Colorado. Let me tell you, it's the best fellowship, the best worship, the best encouragement, the best exhortation, 5 days of immersive study in the Word of God, prayer and fellowship at my place out here on the eastern plains of Colorado, September 28th through October 2nd this year. Here's the caveat, there are only 45 spots open reserved now at generations.org/shepherds. That's generations.org/shepherds. And welcome back to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson here, Steve Vaughn. Steve, what an incredible distance we have come in just the last 2 to 3 weeks. The world was the proudest ever after all the pride marches of 2019. We were on our game. The President of the United States was on his game. He just came out of being exonerated on the charges, and everybody was on their game. It was just the economy could not have been better. America was the proudest she had ever been. We had the lowest unemployment rates, I think, in the history or recent history. And now here we are, and we have been humbled. In fact, the entire world economy has been humbled. And listen to this New York Times article came out just a few minutes ago, why the global recession could last a long time. The abrupt halt of commercial activity has threatened to impose economic pain so profound and enduring in every region of the world at once that recovery could take years. The losses to companies, many already saturated with debt, risk triggering a financial crisis of cataclysmic proportions. Here's Kenneth Rogoff, Harvard economist and co-author of A History of Financial Crises. Here's what he says. I feel the 2008 financial crisis was just a dry run for this one. This is already shaping up as the deepest dive on record for the global economy for over 100 years. Everything depends on how long it lasts. But if this goes on for a long time, it's certainly going to be the mother of all financial crises. Friends, remember, 2019 was a year of pride. 2020 is the year that God humbled everybody. God brought the world to its knees in 2020. Never forget this. And tell it to your children and tell it to your grandchildren that God is the author. God is the source. God is the cause of these great and powerful judgments that come upon a world. And friends, we need to remember that God is in control of all of these things. And He humbled the world in 2020. You know, I think the piper was about to invoice and we were about ready to reap everything we sowed. It just seemed to me we had sowed so much horrendous things in the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And at some point, you know it was going to crack. You knew it was going to come down, didn't you, Steve?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been talking about this with people for a long time. There's no way that this could have been propped up for much longer. And then with this huge stimulus and all of that, it's just adding to it. We just came off of a year of debating banking, finance, and monetary policy, and I was sitting down with one of my teams before the rest of our season was canceled, and we were talking about just the government loans, Freddie Mae, Freddie Mac, Ginnie Mae, and Fannie Mae. And I remember her sitting back and on the couch, and she said, "Man, we are messed up." And it's like, man, that is like the understatement. But again, God's bringing this about. and it's for his purposes, mm-hmm. and it's to his glory, to his honor, to his praise. And man, we had better wake up. We'd better wake up and start glorifying him mm-hmm. and believing him. Not just believe in him. We need to believe him that he is serious about us worshiping him, and he's going to make it to, he's going to take everything away if we don't. Until the only thing that we have left is him, because that's all there is anyway. It's just him.
We have emerged out of the humanist century. Friends, it was the humanist century, beginning with Woodrow Wilson. If you read my book, American God's Providence, you're going to see that the great and influential apostasy that occurred in the 20th century. We saw a steady decline of Christian influence in America throughout the 20th century. What you saw was an increase in the pride of man, the centralization of power. You saw the increase in presidents using God's name in vain. And I chronicle all of that, although not many people care about those sorts of things. Friends, there is a God in the heavens who is paying attention when the presidents of the United States are taking his name in vain. And we begin to see the pride of man infiltrate the schools, the universities, science, and all the rest. The pride of man reached the very heights of its achievements throughout the 20th century until, well, now things are coming down. The entire world is being brought to its knees. God humbled the world big time at the worldwide flood. He's humbling the world today as well. And I think it's for us to take a message, as our brother just said. It's for us to turn back to God. It's for us to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. It's for us to begin to fear God and to begin to teach our children that the beginning of wisdom and knowledge is the fear of God. That's why I'm seeing hundreds of thousands of parents who will be repenting and beginning to look for curriculum that takes the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge in history and science and literature as the most important element of any curriculum. And friends, we're going to have to start bringing a massive reformation in the way that we teach our children. We want to be sure that we're acknowledging God on every page in the history book. We're going to be far more interested in acknowledging God's wisdom and power and goodness throughout the biology and zoology books and the physics books and chemistry books. And that's why, of course, we have reintroduced a brand new Christian worldview curriculum that emphasizes the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge as part of our Generations Curriculum Project. And all of that available at generations.org so far, 5th through 12th grade complete, working on 1st through 4th grade now. Well, friends, let's continue with this New York Times article. It looks to me like it's going to be something like the Great Depression. Here this Harvard economist is saying this is the deepest dive on history for the global economy, at least in over 100 years. The United States, the world's largest economy, is almost certainly in recession right now. So is Europe. So is probably the significant economies like Canada, Japan, South Korea, Singapore, Brazil, Argentina, Mexico, all in recession now. This is a worldwide recession, probably a worldwide depression. It's just, you know, who knows, but that the rescue packages may prove effective, but that's no sure thing. In the typical economic shock, government spends money to try to encourage people to go out and spend. Well, that's not going to happen now. In this crisis, the authorities are demanding that people stay inside to limit the virus. And, of course, the huge unemployment ratios will discourage any spending, which is the number one stimulus to get economy going again. Well, friends, worldwide foreign direct investment is on track to decline by 40% this year, according to the United Nations Conference on Trade and Development. This threatens lasting damage to global production networks and supply chains. It will likely take 2 to 3 years for most economies to return to their pre-pandemic levels of output, says IHS Market in a recent research note. And so on and off it goes. Well, our economic situation is dismal in the United States as well. Pew Research reports that 33% of Americans have had a pay cut or have been laid off in just the last few weeks. And most of the pundits are thinking 30 to 40% unemployment, which would be the largest in all of American history, topping the unemployment ratio of the Great Depression. The Restaurant Association reports 14% of restaurants planning to permanently close after this month. And CoreSite Research reports that at least 15,000 retail stores are expected to close in 2020. And that's all part of the retail apocalypse that was happening over the last 3 years. Of course, that's going to metastasize in the next 3 to 4 months. Reuters reports that corporate loan default rates are expected to reach 9.38%, with energy companies upwards of 15.75%. Well, friends, will this be something like the Great Depression? Now, Steve, there are some things that I believe will be different this time than during the Great Depression of the 1920s and 1930s. There are some things that will be different this time. History doesn't completely repeat itself. It's not just cyclical. It goes in a straight line. According to God's story, as it works out on the stage of history, friends, there are some patterns that repeat and some patterns that don't repeat. And so we live in a unique time. This depression, this recession will be unique to that what we saw in the 1920s and 1930s. Think about this. We have a massive decrease in the American character. 20 times the percentage of kids born outside of wedlock. 20 times the percentage of divorces. 100 times the percentage of people shacking up together. That's a huge social cataclysmic decline in the social structure and social integrity of the nation. We have sustained 100 years of nonstop increased socialism, and a spirit of dependence upon government has increased steadily over 100 years. Moreover, we also have a huge decrease of community since the Great Depression. Think about the problem of isolation that we've talked about because of the electronic universe. Think about all of the programs we've done over the last 15 years on the isolation of modern man that comes out of the Sartrean worldview, the hell is other people worldview that's been imposed on us since John Paul Sartre was writing his books in the 1940s and 1950s. Almost all of Hollywood has been dedicated to an existentialistic, isolationistic form of modern life. And think about how the postmodern generations have lived out the isolationistic worldviews of John Paul Sartre. And this has changed the framework of modern life such that we don't have community structures. We don't have community networks. We don't have relationships strong as they did during the Great Depression. It's got to be 10 times more isolation today than there was back then. People are so super isolated from each other. And by the way, this disease is only further isolating ourselves from each other. Also, you know, we did have the technology revolution that's already sort of been used up. There was something of a technology revolution that was going to make life easier, expand economies, enable technologically advanced economies over the 1950s, 1960s, 1970s, 1980s, 1990s. But we have pretty much used up all of the advancements in technology and automation. And there's not much left there. We've also used up the capital of previous generations, and we've increased our debt big time since the 1920s, 1930s. Way back in the 1920s, 1930s, we had a fairly low debt-to-GDP ratio. It was about 30 to 40% back in the 1930s. Now we're pushing 120% this year. So you don't have the debt that you could spend. There was still all that debt ahead of you in the 1920s, 1930s. That's all used up. So friends, big changes have happened since then. How do we get out of big troubles like this? Well, a couple of things. One is we need to get serious. We need to get serious about prayer, especially as Christians. Man, if this wasn't a wake-up call to people to realize we are dependent upon God, that we are dependent every day on God. Now, of course, when we get the props taken out from under us and we lose our economic stability, then we begin to realize that we are dependent upon God. And maybe this is a wake-up call to turn ourselves back to God and trusting God and crying out to Him and relying upon Him and praying to Him in a sincere and sober manner. Let's get serious about prayer. Let's get serious about church community. Let's be sure our whole family is there at every prayer meeting, every Sunday service. It's time to get serious. This is time to get serious. As Christians, we need to wake up, get serious about giving. Let's open our house up to hospitality. Let's be much more charitable than we ever have been. We've had people stay in our house now for 10 years, almost nonstop. Single moms, guys restoring their marriages, young men in discipleship, etc. We've tried to get used to a life in community and charity that's unlike anything we've experienced in the past. Well, it's time to get started with this kind of world. You get serious about giving. Open your house up to hospitality. I know that Steve's done the same thing with my son. It's a beautiful thing. So get serious about prayer. Get serious about church community. Get serious about giving. Get serious about work, especially for our young boys. Man, this is the time to wake up, throw away the video games, and wake up to the reality. Smell the elbow grease and begin to realize that this is the time to engage. Work 8 hours a day, 6 days a week. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. And the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. And then finally, let's get serious about the gospel. You know, people are going to be softened to the gospel message. Don't get the idea that everybody's going to turn you down. No, you need to get out there and give them the gospel message. Open the conversation up by saying, what's God doing? What's God saying? How can we come to know God? And how do we deal with our sin? And how can we be saved from these cataclysms? Well, let's not rely on governments. Let's not rely on ourselves anymore. Let's look to God for this. And then share something about Christ. Share his death and his resurrection. Talk about how he came to solve the more basic problems of sin and death for us. Well, friends, I think this is how we respond to the current crisis. Steve, any last words?
Yeah, one of the things, which is my speech and debate club's verse, 1 Peter 3:15. And one of the things I've been telling them all this year, and then especially after this pandemic's coming, we, above all, should still maintain hope. Perfect love casts out fear. And God is perfect love, and he casts out and should cast out fear. There's no reason to be anxious. The verses of Jesus, you know, consider the birds of the air, consider the lilies, that how much more important are we to God than the birds of the air and the lilies of the field? And so we need to maintain our hope. We have hope in the future, which will bring power to our present. And when people see that, they're going to ask us, why can you still have hope? What is the reason for this hope that you have? And we need to be ready to give an answer to people who will ask us. And we need to give that answer with gentleness and with respect. And that is the Christian life. That's the Christian hope. We need not fear. We trust in God. We run this race on the path that's set before us with our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. That's who we are.
And Steve, something we've been talking about as a family is we're not seeking a kingdom here. We're not seeking the ultimate life here. Our best life isn't here. It's not now. Our best life is over there. And that's our focus. And so we're seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We're seeking a kingdom that is not here. We are pilgrims and strangers here. So, you know, it doesn't matter if we're going to be impoverished, if the condition of the ship as we voyage across this sea is a little substandard. It doesn't bother us so much because we're not here to see our existence on the ship as the ultimate and the final. We're going to another country. We're going to glory. We're sailing off to a harbor in which we will live forever with the Lord Jesus Christ and enjoy the blessings of glory forever and ever. So our hope is over there. It's not here. And wow, this present recession is certainly pounding that point home to me and to my family. Well, friends, we're going to wrap up this edition of the Generations broadcast. We encourage you to our family Bible study guides as a means by which we can give our children that future hope. In fact, our family is now going through the Gospel of John Bible study guide that we just released a couple of weeks ago. And we have released this J.C. Ryle, a beautiful family commentary, and we have turned it into a family Bible study guide for the family. And we are having the time of our life working through it as a family at 10 o'clock. Each morning, we decided we're going to be doing a 10 o'clock family worship time together, and we will be going through the Gospel of John Family Bible Study Guide, just released from Generations Publishing. So encourage you to the Family Bible Study Guide, especially the Gospel of John, but also remember we've got the Gospel of Matthew, we've got the Book of Proverbs, the Book of Psalms, and the Book of Genesis, all available at our website, generations.org. Take this opportunity to spend that extra time laying up treasures in heaven and discipling your children for the future country as we give them the Word of God, as we sit in our house, as we walk by the way, as we rise up, and as we lie down. The Gospel of John Bible Study Guide for Families, available at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve Onum, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.